Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome back to the Comic-Con podcast bonus edition. We are talking Spider-Man No Way Home. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler review. Zach and I have not talked. We literally said we're going to do this impromptu. It's Friday night. No, Thursday night. Jeez.
Thursday, yeah.
Came out. So we're recording this on December 16th. Hopefully, if you are listening to this, you've seen the movie. If you haven't seen the movie, get the hell out of here and come back when you can. So let's get right into it. Zach, say what's up.
What's up, everybody? So before we actually start talking about the movie, let me paint a fucking picture for you, okay? So we go to, I don't think you have them out there, Alamo Draft House, you know, one of those places where you can order food, like a whole menu, whatever, and they bring it to you, and it's like super quiet, whatever. We walk in, we've got our seats. I can already see this couple that's sitting right next to us, and they're already talking loudly, okay? And still previews. The previews haven't even started, but they're talking loudly. And like, look, let's be honest, man. You're in a movie theater. It doesn't matter if the movie started or not. This is like a quieter area. You don't talk like your normal talking voice like you would in a room, right? So I'm already kind of anticipating like, oh God, here we go. Dude, the whole fucking movie, it was borderline unenjoyable for the movie, dude. This dude and his chick were like obnoxiously laughing. And what's funny was when my wife whispered in my ear at one point, like, are they just laughing at like the non-funny stuff? And then they don't laugh at like the genuinely funny stuff. Then there was the clapping at certain parts in the movie, which you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Every time something big in the movie happened, this guy goes, whoa, yeah. I swear to God, like two people away from me, I wanted to kill him. So movie was great. I definitely think I gotta go see it again when I can do it in like a quieter atmosphere, but God, it was distracting. Anyway, let's get into the movie.
All right. So let's talk about the stuff that was terrible first. Cause I feel like,
I want to get
away from all the stuff that I hated.
Okay.
And then we can get into everything else because I feel like that's like the meat and potatoes. So
I got to think now because I'm not really sure what I hate.
All right. Well, so then you think while I speak then for a little bit. All right. So first and foremost, Ned Leeds, the guy who plays him, like now that I really know after, I guess, the second movie that he's like completely bald, his toupee is absolutely awful to look at. Anytime he is on screen.
I didn't even notice. Honestly, you know, it was funny on the way home. I was telling my wife how he had a bald head now. So you're saying he was bald during this? That was a toupee the whole time?
Dude, that is 100% a toupee.
I did not even pay
attention. It looks so awful. Oh my God. When you go see it the second time, you are going to notice it. And it's so awkward to look at. Like, I don't know why he wouldn't just shave his head. Like, we'll keep his head bald like he is in like this movie and just be like, Peter can't just be like, oh, hey, Ned, you got a haircut. Like, why? It's so awful to look at. It's like,
do we know why he's bald? Is he bald for another role or something?
He just has a shaved head. Like,
always?
Yeah.
So in the other movies, is that always like a hairpiece? Do we know?
Oh my God. I'm pretty sure it is.
To be honest, I didn't pay attention because in this movie, Ned Leeds was the least like important character. Like, even I felt like Happy was more important than he was in this. Like, I didn't even barely pay attention to Ned throughout the movie.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure just kind of looking at his pictures, he literally has every picture you see of him is a bald head. You know, and this is going back to even when he was fat. So it really wasn't noticeable. And I guess I didn't really notice that he was bald until like the end, like after the last movie came out, because I finally like saw him on screen and stuff like that. And I'm just like,
interesting.
Oh my God, he looks terrible.
I probably am going to be like cued in on that now. So now you've even ruined like my second viewing of this movie now, because I'm going to be cued in on Ned Leeds' toupee piece.
Yes.
So what else did you hate?
That's like the biggest thing. I guess my second biggest gripe is everything that we knew that was going to come true came true.
And it's funny that that's like, your gripe.
That's my gripe, because it's just like, you're like, like you do that stupid douchey smile because it's like, you knew it was coming, but everybody in this theater is just like clapping. And I'm just like, I'm like, whatever. My other gripe, and this is probably going to be reason why I would not like, I mean, I'm gonna talk about it. I like the movie, but for me, the whole, again, this goes all the way back to Spider-Man number one, is Peter trying to save the villains.
Okay.
Like, and I cannot stand that about Spider-Man, and I just don't understand, like, why can't the villain, like, obviously Goblin, he literally wanted to stay bad. Jamie Foxx, he wanted to stay bad, but of course, oh, I gotta save them. I gotta turn them back into good people.
Right.
So those are the things I hated about the movie. What about you? Did you have a little time to think about that?
Yeah, but mine, I don't feel like this is the moment. I have very few things. I have little. I'll talk about what I didn't like as we get to the parts because it's so minor and I don't want to go out of turn on what we're talking about. So, but man, okay. So let's talk, let's break it down for, let's start with villains. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about just generally what we thought about the villain setup, the villain payout and everything like that. Right. So in the preview, we knew everything. So we weren't surprised. So I guess here's one of my first gripes is that we were like, damn, man, they're going to give us five villains and we're not going to actually get a Sinister Six. And we didn't. Mm-hmm. We did not get a Sinister Six.
Correct.
So, oh, well, I mean, that kind of bummer. Who knows if we'll ever get one now. But we had the five villains. Obviously, we knew we were going to get a lot of Doc Ock. We didn't know how much Green Goblin we were going to get. We got a lot more, which, holy shit, man.
Yeah.
And then Jamie Foxx, I kind of felt like I could have done with a little less emphasis on Electro. I understand the redemption of not the character, but the portrayal of the character. You know, they had to redeem that horrible Electro from Amazing Spider-Man number 2. I was pleasantly surprised with like Thomas Hayden Church actually voicing Sandman and Ian Rice actually voicing the Lizard, the original characters. Like, I thought we were going to just get the, like, you know, Sandman monster and like a lizard,
like CGI, like no talking at all.
Right, exactly. So that's what I thought we were going to get. And man, I thought it was fucking perfect. And then at the end, when you actually see the actual actor as well, awesome.
Yeah. I'm surprised, especially, and I guess let's Sandman, like, I'm surprised they really left him as sand than more as just the actor, but I guess it was just because maybe for timing and COVID, right, and just it's easier to do CGI than it is to pay an actor to do voiceovers and then just show up. Hey, one day you're going to show up one day and you're going to just do one part where you're going to turn back from sand into a human.
Well, and it also kind of keeps up with the idea of like, hey, I'm trying to cure him. You know, if he can go back and forth between the body and the sand, it's kind of like, well, what's there to cure necessarily? And out of all of them, Sandman was kind of the one who wasn't, you know, mentally jacked up, which I also, that opening scene with Sandman, dude, I honestly got so excited when he fought with Spider-Man, because if we remember how Spider-Man 3 ended, he wasn't necessarily a bad guy. Like, he was trying to do better. So I was like, damn, dude, are we actually going to see Sandman kind of like a good guy in this? I loved that. Let's talk before we get to Norman, because I think Norman's like the best. So let's talk Doc Ock, right? So
yeah,
what was your opinion on Doc Ock?
So definitely Doc Ock was, from what we saw in the previews, it kind of looked like he was, of course, bad in the beginning and then he was going to turn good. I like how they kept him where he was, you know, still a bad guy because of the inhibitor chip on in the back of his neck. Right. And how that was done, and kind of how we said, like, the reason how he gets like the red arms had to be something from like Tony Stark, like a nanotech thing. We didn't know specifically how he was going to get that, but of course that's how Spider-Man is able to stop him from doing anything. So his scenes are great, and Alfred Molina is a great actor, so him at all his scenes are perfect. Yeah, in my opinion, I loved him in all the scenes that he was with Spider-Man. The fact that they talk with him and Norman and they have that relationship, like, cause obviously they're from like the same Earths in a way. And it's just a good back and forth where you really understood it. And then of course, towards the end, the ending with him and Toby.
Yeah. Like, so agreed on in everything you just said. And I loved how the majority of the movie, once they fixed the chip, he was good. Because, yeah, at the end of his movie, he kind of got that redemption scene where he sacrificed himself, and they kind of overwrote that a little bit here because he left before that point. So he was still kind of bad, I guess, when he got to this universe. But I loved how then when he got his chip fixed, he was still being good. Like, he helped out the Spider-Man. He was assisting. Because we all know Doc Ock, at least in that movie scene, not necessarily the comics, he wasn't bad. Out of all of, like, most of Spider-Man's villains, something went haywire with him and it wasn't necessarily him. So I loved that. You're right, dude. The interaction between him and Norman, because in the comics, it's so strong. Like, oh, they know each other in the field of science and like they work together and blah, blah, blah. We never saw that in those movies. So them interacting was fantastic. And yeah, I loved, and we'll talk about, I'll probably talk about this a little bit more when we get to like the Spider-Man stuff, like the interaction between each Spider-Man and his villains. But okay, so yeah, Doc Ock was fantastic, right? I mean, just knocked it out of the park. And then Electro. Norman Osborn, bro. Electro. Okay, so let's go to
Electro. Jamie Foxx, total redemption story. Total redemption from Amazing Spider-Man number 2.
Right.
It was cool though, like in the beginning where he was, you know, blue.
Right.
That was cool. And then when he just became a normal person and wasn't a, you know, like he didn't look like a loser.
Yeah, he had a makeover, right? Like they said, yeah, like good looking Jamie Foxx.
Hell yeah. I'm just getting your text now that says, okay, I'm in the stream.
Oh, gotcha.
So yeah, totally different. Of course, like he's a villain. Like he was like exactly like he wanted to be. He's like, this world has so much to offer. He felt the power from everywhere. He wasn't like, oh, well, I want to go back to my earth. He was definitely on that echelon of next to Green Goblin where I don't want to leave. Like, I want to be here.
Because he's somebody for once.
Yeah.
And a better somebody than he even was in his universe.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think his interactions, the fighting scenes that he's in is great. Again, the suit that he was wearing was great. And just even general, of course, his biggest line in the movie is, you're from Queens. I always thought you were a black Spider-Man.
Right.
There's got to be a black Spider-Man out there. And then, of course, in my theater, everyone cheers and it's like, oh, like for miles. Right. So,
of course. Yeah. He was great. I think, you know, it's funny how much, and I'm sure we'll talk about this when we get to Andrew Garfield, but it's funny how much, at least in Spider-Man 2, they definitely made concessions for the Amazing Spider-Man 2, in terms of like they mentioned it multiple times, all the screw-ups from that movie, and tried to correct those mistakes, right? So Electro's were pretty much the same thing. He talked about the way he looked, talked about him being a loser and like the blue and all that stuff. But yeah, it was great. Awesome depiction of Electro. Way better than the Amazing Spider-Man 2.
So good.
So then we had Lizard, right? So kind of like the, I don't want to say the lamest villain of them, but the one that got the least amount of like screen time and attention.
I think just because for digital purposes,
right?
But at least we had the actor voicing him, and it was cool to again see him speaking as the Lizard. Like you really thought he was just going to be, when you first saw him in the cage and him just kind of sitting against the wall, you kind of thought, all right, well, he's just going to be some mindless like
monster
type. Monster.
Yeah.
But then he speaks and you're like, oh my God, they really got him. So that's right. What was great about that.
And then once again, too, even in that universe, you had the interaction between the two of them where Max knew Connors and they were like, hey, how are you? And like the back and forth between all the different universe villains and being like, hey, bro, you died. Like you went down first and then I'm next. And then the next guy, you know, like they're all like comparing notes, so to speak, on their deaths and stuff. It's very, very interesting. You know, it was a great dynamic.
And Sandman is the best because he says, oh, well, he's like, you died because you got impaled by your glider. And then you died. Doc Ock got killed because you were in the river with your machine. And, you know, and that was pretty cool. So it kind of brings everything full circle.
Right. So, and then finally, dude, Green Goblin, man. I was so surprised. I didn't think we were actually, I think we even mentioned it on one of our shows. I wasn't entirely sure we were going to see Norman Osborn's face. I thought we were going to get just Goblin suited up Goblin voicing the whole time, but it was very little Goblin, like Goblin suited, right? Yeah. And then honestly, his depiction suit wise towards the latter half of the movie was more akin to the Ultimate Spider-Man version where he had like rags and like the brown and the hood. Mm-hmm. Like it was very much more an Ultimate Spider-Man clothing look, not facial features look, obviously, but a more original actually like Goblin look too. And that dude ain't missed a step, bro. Like it made me like, I had like chills when he was playing the Goblin role.
Oh yeah. The flipping back and forth. And that's what it is. Like, we are so used to in the superhero world of movies, you're always depicted as Batman and Joker. Like, that's the echelon of
right.
the hero to the villain. But you have to realize in the Marvel universe, it's Spider-Man and Green Goblin.
It's
like
so,
there's no yin to a yang better than that. And they have never brought that back since that time with Tobey Maguire and Willem Dafoe. But we haven't seen that in the MCU. Like there hasn't been that A-list hero fighting that A-list villain. And this movie, yeah, same thing. I got chills, man. Like even that final battle, there was just, so good.
So it's like, it's so good. It's like bittersweet. Because, you know, you have Norman saying there's no iteration of Norman Osborn in this universe. So we kind of are like, oh, shit. OK, so this is maybe the only Norman we're going to get, the only Green Goblin we may get in this MCU Spider-Man verse. So that kind of sucks. But at the same time, it's kind of good because honestly, how the hell do you get a better casting than that, you know, than Norman or than Willem Dafoe? Yeah. And I think even Amazing Spider-Man series, the Garfield series knew that. That's why they skipped Norman and went straight to Harry, you know, because it's, and we mentioned this, if you guys are listening, if you haven't listened to our previous episode on Friday, the most recent episode of the podcast, we talked about Batman Joker, like Justin just said, and how when you have Batman movies, everyone's expecting the Joker. When you have Spider-Man movies, everyone's expecting the Goblin. So it's always looming. What are we going to get Goblin? Where are we going to get Osborn? When's he going to come? I don't know if we're going to get him anymore. This might be it. And honestly, if that's the case, I'm going to be disappointed, but it's kind of cool. Like, damn, dude, Willem Dafoe was fantastic.
Yeah, I guess this, the college years, which is going to be like the next trilogy of movies, maybe again, you will have Harry introduced and it'll be Harry again. And it won't be Norman. And you get an actor who can play him in future Marvel movies outside of Spider-Man, possibly.
Right. So, man, the villains, they lived up to it, dude. Awesome. Obviously, we didn't see some of the theories were Mysterio again, Vulture again, Kraven. We didn't see any of them, right?
Mm-hmm. I was partially expecting, like, a Venom to show up. Like, the Topher Grace one.
Yeah.
For just some stupid reason, like...
I don't think they want people to remember that. They're okay like correcting some things, and I don't think they want people to remember that. Which they even did the shout out to. I was like, hey, I fought some weird space goo, you know, when Toby was talking about his guys. So let's do it. Let's pull the bandaid off. Let's get into the Spider-Man. You start.
All right. So of course, let's even go back further and everything that people saw in the trailers, we'll just quickly break it apart. The scene, of course, where he's as a lawyer, it is Charlie Cox.
Right. Oh, God, dude. I literally just forgot about that whole scene. After the rest of the movie, I literally forgot about that scene. Holy shit.
Yeah, because it's so quick. And obviously the best part when they throw the brick through the thing and he catches it before Peter does. And I think that's great. So again, full circle, Netflix series, Marvel, Sony, all together, back together. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So they came sooner than what we thought. We thought they would kind of only show up for like the final battle, but the way they showed up, I thought was kind of stupid. That's another, I really thought Ned was a terrible character in this entire movie. And that kind of brings me back to a lot of things that he does in this movie. Like now he has the ability to use the sling rings. Like what? Like he can conjure. So now, does that like open, to be honest, like, does that open up the world of like Strange Academy? Like that was my first thought when he was just, he randomly had the ability.
I kind of thought about that too. Not necessarily with him, but I was like, oh, now we're going to have young ring slingers type situation.
So, and then the one other part that I just want to say before we get into the Toby and Andrew thing is when Toby and Andrew are talking about like when Ned is talking to his Toby and he goes, oh, he's like, do you have a best friend? Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, he died in my arms before he tried to kill me. And he kind of is like, oh my God, he's like, am I going to fight Peter?
Right.
And he says to Tom Holland's Peter Parker, he's like, dude, don't worry. Or, you know, he's like, oh, we'll always be friends or something that like that. And like someone in my theater yelled out, bullshit.
Oh yeah,
dude, I was crying, like crying, because like, if you obviously, you know who Ned Leeds is in the comic book world, you know he's the hobgoblin, one of the hobgoblins,
right?
So, and then I'm just like, oh my god, I guess it's not gonna happen in this movie.
That's good. Yeah. So I didn't mind the way they showed up. Actually, I kind of thought it was good that way. It's good, yes, to see them interact first away from Tom Holland. So them showing up, I get what you mean, like about him having the ring and stuff, but like when he opens it up and you see a Spidey at the distance, and of course you're thinking, oh, it's Tom Holland. But then in walks Garfield, and then in walks Tobey Maguire. And it was awesome, dude. I think there's so much to be said about all of that. And I think the thing I loved the most was that it happened, like you said, early enough. And they didn't just, it wasn't just like for like, just to appease fans. They actually had conversations. They progressed their story. It made you feel like even now when they go back to their worlds, they're having adventures ongoing, like that we've missed those adventures. Like now I'm feeling like, oh damn, I want to know about those adventures that I missed. You know, like they've had whole lives going on. And I thought that they nailed that, man. It wasn't just an interaction of like, hey, here we are, fan service, you know, the two Spider-Man. Like, you got a lot of in-depth stuff about them and their characters, you know, like
Toby. Yeah, like the Toby Maguire version, I literally the whole time, like, I thought a lot about the Spider-Man Peter Parker in Into the Spider-Verse.
Like, okay, yeah.
From his version, how like he had, you know, he's out of shape.
Mentor.
He's older.
Yeah.
He's has problems with MJ. They got divorced. And he kind of says that too, is like, yeah, I had some issues. You got to work on them. And you can tell he's older. And even like Otto, when he sees him, says, you know, he says something along the lines of like,
you've grown up.
Yeah. Yeah. You've grown up. Exactly. And that's what's cool. Like, he's not just like walking around like with the suit on. So like, that's what I liked about him. And Andrew throws a dig at him. And then again, Andrew, he literally looks like he did, you know, whatever.
Right. Looked the same pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was perfect. And I still think he's the perfect Spider-Man / Peter Parker.
I agree.
His storyline with Gwen, when he caught MJ and got teary eyed, like I felt that. Like,
yeah.
Totally felt that. There was another part with Andrew that, it's just like, it's crazy, like to think, you know, oh, the part where they're in the, I guess, laboratory or science lab of the school, and they're like doing all the science stuff, is again, like you said, perfect interactions. Like, it wasn't just fan service to bring them in and then immediately go to the fight. It's like, hey, they're hanging at the house. Now they're all together in this, you know, science room because they're all scientists in a way, and they have their back and forth talk. And
yeah, and they touch on stuff in their movies. Like at that point, you know, Garfield's like, I'll take Lizard. I already cured him once, you know? And like, and then Toby's like, look, I think I know how to cure Norman. I've been thinking about it. You know, it's always running through my mind. Like they had their roles. They knew what they were and they moved towards them. And yeah, like with Toby, for me, it felt like, I didn't even think about Into the Spider-Verse. I was kind of thinking of like Old Man Logan type situation. It was like kind of like that scenario. Like, okay, this is your old man Spider-Man, you know, like he's more controlled. He was reserved. He's older and kind of like the mentor Spider-Man. And then I loved with Andrew how he talks about how like, yeah, man, like after the death of Gwen Stacy, he's like, I stopped pulling my punches. So now it's like, damn, we kind of got like a darker Spider-Man here. Like, this guy's got some trauma from this. And, you know, even all their, like we said, talked about with Electro, Andrew got a lot of like, there was a lot of trying to build him back up. And even like outside in the real world, like they made a lot of dialogue that was geared towards like, you know, him saying like, yeah, I get a lot of shit. And it's because he does. He's gotten a lot of hate for his movies as being like the worst Spider-Man. And you and I agree. I think he's the complete package out of the three as of now, you know. So they did pay a lot of tribute to that to kind of like correct, make you feel better, make him feel better as well. But then like the fun stuff, dude, like the fun stuff with the three Spider-Man. They talk about the web slinging, the webs,
yes.
Toby, like the weird shit that everyone's like, what the fuck, dude? Like, why'd you guys even do that? You know? And that was awesome.
They're complaining about their backs.
Their backs. Yeah. And then the pointing in the lab, like a live action version of the Peter, I'm Peter, me, you. I thought that was great too. I was like, damn, dude, like they're hitting all the key, like things, the tropes, you know? And just seamlessly, like not forced. None of it felt like, oh, okay, I saw what you did there. You know, like it felt natural. I also loved, I think one of the not lines necessarily, but one of like the minor plots about them, like their first attack, they're getting their asses kicked. And like, look, dudes, because none of us play together. Like we're always all alone. Yep. I don't know how to work as a team, you know? And so the Avengers comments were pretty awesome. And then they start working as a team and it was badass, you know? So
yeah, I would have liked to see a little bit more of the team up. Like you see the whole movie swinging. No, but I like, you see them swinging and like, it was really cool to see that and how like they would, in the beginning, they would save each other with like a web.
Right.
Like if you notice that once they figured themselves out.
Yeah.
And you could totally see like where, you know, they were digitally taken out of the trailers and these TV spots was just like so perfect. And you're like, yeah, it's there. They were great.
It was so great.
Yeah. We could spend all night speaking on them, but you know, and so let's kind of just, we'll touch on some other things and then we'll kind of like wrap up because it's almost be super long. You got to think about it. And like, I had a lot of like kids, like, cause of course I saw it at 3 o'clock and you figure a lot of people that I saw with was like kids getting out, like literally out of high school. Like they had their varsity jackets on or JV jackets on. To think like how old they were when like the original ones came out, like Spider-Man 1 and 2 and 3, like
it was like 2000, right?
Yeah. So 2002 was Spider-Man 1, 2004, 2007 was the Toby series. So some of these kids were like in not even elementary school or maybe, you know, just born when those movies came out. So I don't think like the appreciation really is for the people who grew up in obviously the 70s, 80s, 90s, I would say, that saw these movies in the theaters because we're like, yes, like that was my Spider-Man.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's the same thing like with the X-Men series. Like, you know, Patrick Stewart was like our Professor X, and like the newer people had James McAvoy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Pulled that real quick. but yeah, so like that's really interesting. Something we didn't touch on, it was really cool, and you know, everybody's completely wrong, was Doctor Strange. That was Doctor Strange. He wasn't Mephisto, he wasn't controlled by anybody. The whole thing with the Sanctum Sanctorum being in snow was, of course, that was a joke. Like they left one of the portals open in Siberia and a snowfall came. But the fight between him and Peter was pretty cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, in the Mirrorverse and then just, you know, right normally in New York, like that was completely like nobody guessed that. Nobody could have figured that out. That's how they were fighting. Like they were fighting each other, not they were fighting somebody.
And I was worried, you know, I think the biggest draw, I think negative on the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies is, and everyone talks about it, is how he always has like a mentor. There's always someone who's basically kind of riding the coattails of Iron Man, I almost said Mephisto, Mysterio, and then now Doctor Strange. But I was surprised and pleasantly surprised Doctor Strange wasn't in the movie as much as I thought he was going to be. You know, him kind of being trapped in the Mirrorverse for a long time was awesome. Took him out of the game. He shows up at the end, does what he needs to do, but like it allowed Tom Holland and the Spider-Mans and everyone to kind of have their own story, which I thought was great. We didn't talk about, you know, Aunt May death, obviously. That's kind of the new Uncle Ben death. I think that hit me harder
than like Toby. I think that hit me harder than Iron Man and Black Widow.
Right.
That's just my opinion.
It was a tough one, man. And it was tough because you knew the significance of it, because we never saw this Tom Holland. We don't even know if there was even much of a bond between him and Uncle Ben. He never had that, you know, so in these movies. So him, this is the new Uncle Ben. You get the "with great power comes great responsibility" line, obviously, finally. Yep. And then it just touches it again when both the Spideys say like that was what Uncle Ben said, you know? So it's really moved Tom Holland forward to being what maybe Spider-Man should be. Like, so MCU kind of did things backwards, right? They're like, here he is with the Avengers, here he is with all of his mentors and gadgets and goodies and like his whole team and blah, blah, blah. And now moving forward, it's like, oh shit, here he is now completely all the fuck alone. Like is sewing his own costume. No one knows who he is. He has no family. He has no one. He has literally no support system. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for the next trilogy. I'm excited to see Spider-Man, like Spider-Man operate. And I think a lot of people are probably going to be upset because now it'll be like, well, next Avengers movie, we're not going to have Spidey. You know, I'm good with that, dude. Like, I'm good with that. Like, he needs to be operating on his own. Like the other Spidey said, they're not a team type player. So
yeah, he's never been that with that. If anything, it's just going to be with, it would be with other Spider family characters, right, which I don't think we would see until, if they do it, like his third college movie. And right, that's really pushing it. Like at that point, maybe you'd have a younger Miles, and that's when you introduce Miles as a live action star. But yeah, I think it's perfect. I thought about that too.
Yeah.
I thought about that too. Like, is it hating because now absolutely nobody knows who he is, and everything that happened was just done by quote unquote Spider-Man? But I kind of like it. I think it's a complete do-over. I think he did the right thing choosing not to talk to MJ. And now that leads into this possible, you know, college life of Felicia Hardy being introduced or Gwen Stacy being introduced. And
right,
there's that love angle that, you know, we've seen in the world of comics and even movies as well a little bit. So I guess let's kind of just talk final thoughts, or you want to do, you want to do
final thoughts, rank it, and then let's do end credit scenes. Cause okay, I have some things to say about the end credit scenes.
Oh, I can't wait. Cause I do too. And I've only seen it once. Okay. So final thoughts, to be honest, it's an epic movie.
Yeah,
it really is. It's almost, and I thought I wouldn't like a movie better than Shang-Chi this year.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't. And I've watched Shang-Chi twice at home on Disney Plus, the IMAX version. I love that movie. Going into it with nothing, I love that movie. This movie, going into it expecting things and like guessing on things, totally different.
Right.
The fighting was great. The acting was great. Everybody was just almost perfect. Little teasers here and there, the throw-ins that you knew were coming. I don't know. I mean, it was definitely like a 9.6 out of 10. Give it a 9.CGC 9.6, only because I hate Ned Leeds in this movie.
Yeah, so I'm up there too, man. I'm surprised. Like I've stated a lot of times, I'm not a massive Spider-Man fan. And honestly, the story was good in and of itself. It was great. But then obviously what took it to the next level was the callbacks, the villains, the other Spider-Man. Like, it just was so, so epic and so well done, not forced. I didn't feel like the pacing was bad. I felt like everyone got their due. There was only like a few interactions I would have liked a little bit more. I wanted more, I think, and I meant to mention this, Toby and Green Goblin. I would have liked a little bit that last scene. I would have liked a little bit more of an interaction between Norman and Toby.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, I thought it was great. Probably up there with one of the greatest MCU movies, definitely single like character movie. I think you're gonna be hard pressed to beat like Infinity War and Endgame, in my opinion, as the best Marvel movies, because they're just so epic in scale, but definitely one of the top single character movies, you know? So
yeah. If you're a Spider-Man fan, it's literally the perfect movie for you, without a doubt. It's perfect, hands down.
I'll go with the 9. I like 9.6. I like 9.6. There's a couple spine ticks, color-breaking spine ticks there. So mm-hmm. I can't get a 9.8. You'd have thrown me one more villain. Maybe we got Sinister Six. I might have given you a 9.8, but you didn't. So you get 9.6.
Yeah. Bring Vulture out of Ravencroft, and I would have been happy. Would have gotten that sixth villain.
Yeah.
Little things. I don't know if you picked up on some little things, but like there, when the multiverse is breaking apart and Strange says they're coming through, did you see like the illusions of like Rhino?
I caught Kraven? Rhino. I didn't see Kraven.
Was the first one with the staff.
Okay. Yeah. I saw that, but I couldn't make out. I mean, at first I thought for a second it was, wouldn't have made any sense, but I thought it was like one of the Black Order. I thought it was like Corvus Glaive for a second. Yeah. I did catch Rhino.
Yeah, because obviously it had to be someone who knew Spider-Man.
Right.
So it obviously had to be villains. I'm sure like people are going to screen cap it, and like you'll see other characters that I didn't pick up on. And it'd be interesting to see these other Spider-Man villains that that showed up. So, yeah, let's do the end credit scene.
Okay.
First gotcha. One. Oh, see, I know you're already upset. So dude, this.
Oh my God, man. Honestly, let's harken back to, I guess I did this solo review, but I know how you feel the same way about the Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage. And I remember doing the review on that and saying the only thing that was good about that movie was the end credit scene, that it kind of set up like some Tom Hardy, Tom Holland, Spider-Man, Venom setup. Then we get this, which totally makes that completely pointless, like yeah. for the most part. And I mean, maybe people will argue, no, we'll probably still see Tom Holland and Tom Hardy. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how you would do it at this point, but it was kind of a throwaway fucking scene. Outside of leaving some of the Venom symbiote behind.
Yeah, like Sony just doesn't know what to do with Venom.
He's horrible.
That's the
dude.
Bottom
it's,
line.
It's horrible.
It's literally the bottom line. They have no idea what to do with Venom. And yeah, him showing up was like, I didn't expect that because I stayed off the internet and everything.
Right. I didn't expect
didn't
that
want to
at
know
all.
what the mid credit scene was. I knew the end credit scene because someone named Jeff from Metropolis Comics ruined it for me. Oh, now I can tell that story. But we'll get to that when we get to that part. So, yeah, the throwaway of the problem is because here it is. I don't think it's going to be Tom Hardy because I don't think Marvel is going to want to pay Tom Hardy.
Plus, he's knowing too that old. He's,
that too.
Looks weird and having an old dude sense. Beat up on a young kid like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like yikes, you're right.
Well, I mean, Vulture was pretty old to beat up
True.
On Tom Holland.
True.
But that was and. Again, I really don't want to go back, but the parts where Tom Holland is fighting Green Goblin in the hotel or condo or whatever, mm-hmm.
yeah.
that's what Spider-Man is. He's a
right.
kid fighting adults.
True.
And because Tom Holland's like a little guy, it looked cooler than having like Tobey Maguire fight him.
Right. Tobey was like the same size as everyone. He just had like a boyish face.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, Venom, just that was so stupid.
It's just like the push for it too. It's like, God, man, like we talked about it with comics too. Like, yo, stop pushing Venom and Carnage and every goddamn thing, dude. Like, I get it. Maybe if you're that's your massive fan, you want to see Venom, but leaving the goo behind, okay, cool. We'll see what happens with that. But I definitely trust it better in like the MCU's hands than I do Sony's because
yeah.
that scene, and then God damn it, dude, when Venom started talking, eat your face. Like, I was yeah. like, God, not this shit again, dude. Like,
we're drunk. We should go skinny dipping. And I'm like,
it's horrendous. It's god awful. So it's just, yeah, dude. So that whole point, like I said, my moral of my story was that end credit scene and this end credit scene are both moderately pointless, except for that piece mm-hmm. of black goo. Which you yep. could have done some other way. You could have had it come from space. Goddamn, Spider-Man's been in space like 9 times now. So,
yep.
I don't know. Whatever, dude.
All right. And then let's end it on the Doctor Strange trailer, which was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, now that I got to see it, because I saw it on the computer and with Japanese subtitles, but seeing it on the big screen, it's going to be an epic movie. It's definitely going to be an epic movie. Baron Mordo looking great. You got 2 or 3 little shots of America Chavez and her books yeah. are already moving from what people are already posting on Instagram. And I've checked on eBay. We don't know how much we're going to get of her. And I guess what everyone's saying, the What If series is, I guess, part of canon. Cause that's what it is. You get that evil Doctor Strange who, instead of losing his hands, lost, Rachel. Mm-hmm. Why do I always say
Rachel McAdams? Yeah. Christine Palmer.
Yeah, I always know her as the actress, never as the character.
Because even in the comics, she's not that big of a deal.
Dude. Yeah, that's why. That's what it is. But so, yeah, it's I thought you get the real quick of what could be Shuma-Gorath. There's
right.
a tentacle monster because that was kind of like spoiled on the Lego.
Had
box.
The big eye. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where that is. But I cannot wait for that movie. I think that movie is going to be awesome. Scarlet Witch looked great. So.
Yeah, I thought it looked really cool. I love how much Scarlet Witch is in that. I like how they're finally bringing her over to like the magic stuff like we saw. You even had the callback to WandaVision mm-hmm. where he's like, no, I'm here to talk about that. You know, like let's talk about some other shit. And so, like you said, Baron Mordo looked great. We didn't even mention the fact that Doctor Strange isn't the Sorcerer Supreme anymore. It's Wong, which is very interesting.
That was interesting for sure.
We even saw Rachel McAdams in that little preview as well. So she'll be returning also.
I think that is a flashback or something. I don't know what that's going to be. To be honest,
it looked like because it was like a wedding, right? So it might have been like a live action view of evil Doctor Strange flashback, possibly. Something like that, maybe.
Like, you know, him kind of showing the good Strange, like what could have been.
Right. Maybe. So, yeah.
That's my take on it. But so let me, now that we're talking about this, I can tell you this, how the Doctor Strange got ruined for me. And hopefully Jeff is listening to this. So Jeff from Metropolis Comics calls me up because we were dealing with the scammer issue. Mm. And he then calls me back and says, what's the first appearance of the evil Doctor Strange? And I go, I don't think there is a first appearance of evil Doctor Strange. He's like, well, the one that's like in the What If. And I'm like, I don't think they've ever done that in the What If storyline, so I don't think there's a first appearance. And he goes, well, he's in the trailer. I'm like, wow, bro, thanks for ruining like the end credit thing. He's like, but it's only a trailer. I'm like, still, like, I was wanting to be surprised. So then immediately then I went online and I found out the two issues that are right now spiking, which is Doctor Strange from the 1992 series, issue 46 and 47, because that's the Necromancer, Evil Strange.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, that's when I went on YouTube and started looking at the Japanese versions of the trailer. So,
yeah, I thought it was cool. Don't get me wrong. It was awesome. A little disappointed. Like, I don't know, man. Like, don't waste my time with trailers at the end of the movie. Give me another end credit scene that sets up another movie, because I can get a trailer. I'm gonna get that trailer regardless, you know what I mean? So it's almost like the idea of celebrating your birthday on a holiday, and like you're combining two good things and you lose one thing, you know what I mean? So it's like, like, it was cool, don't get me wrong, I have no complaints about that, other than like, hey dude, you could have just like showed that at the beginning of the movie, or like tomorrow dropped it and then given me an actual
trailer. I feel like it was more of just like scenes.
But he was in like a trailer type format, you know.
It was, but not like a normal, like where it would have text.
Right. It was like definitely more than you would normally get from like a first trailer, teaser trailer. Yes. So,
but I will say that it's the first time, if you consider that a trailer, that they ended it on no jokes.
Oh, again, you definitely pay attention to that. I never pay attention to that.
Oh, I was waiting. After you saw the evil Doctor Strange, mm-hmm. and he says something like, oh, this is going to get crazier. It's gotten crazy. I was really, really waiting for that little punchline at the end, and they didn't do it. And I'm like, all right, this could be dark.
Well, it's not too far away either. May 2022. So, I mean, we're looking 5 months away to see that movie.
All right.
So that's pretty cool.
That's going to be soon. That's right around the corner.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what was great too? And I don't know if you got it, but did you get the Batman trailer before your movie?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome to see.
But it's the one we've seen. I've seen it a couple of times in theater. You hadn't seen it yet?
No, not in theaters. No, not that one. That's the second trailer. I definitely hadn't seen that in theaters. I've always seen it on like YouTube. But that was awesome to watch in the theater. So
it was dope.
That's it, everyone. That was our first time viewing of Spider-Man No Way Home. Our reviews, I'm sure both Zach and I will go end up seeing it again and again sometime soon. So we appreciate everybody checking out this episode. If you've made it this far, you've seen the movie, and that's our thoughts. And we'll catch you soon for the upcoming regular episode. Peace out, everybody.
Later, guys.